You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Okay, so earlier in the podcast, Sean Carroll stated that the underlying physics of all of our everyday experiences can be explained by one equation. That's a very bold claim. What if we've just been fooled into thinking that the fundamental laws of physics are the way they are?
That seems unlikely. Could we really have got them all completely wrong?
Well, no, perhaps not wrong. But while trying to understand a bit more about quantum mechanics in the early universe, cosmologist and FQXI member Andreas Albrecht at the University of California at Davis came up with a very surprising finding, that the fundamental laws of physics we observe may not be unique. Instead, the version of reality that we perceive depends very heavily on the way that we measure time in the early universe, basically on what we choose to use as a clock. His work on this clock ambiguity actually calls into question whether we will ever be able to come up with a single universal set of fundamental laws at all, or any kind of unique theory of everything. Earlier, I spoke with Albrecht about his work. He began by explaining how cosmologists mark time in the early universe compared with how we choose to measure time, usually.
Well, we are all actually pretty good at measuring time. We all need to be places at certain times. We're not always good at getting there on time, but we at least know how we're doing and know if we're running late. And we use a very simple scheme to do that. We have objects in our lives we call clocks, and they're just part of the physical world. They're made out of atoms and particles, just like everything else around us. And we take a look at them, we check what state they're in, and that tells us the time.
But what about, you know, in the very early universe, people talk about, you know, time stretching back to the Big Bang, but at that time, you know, how do we get a handle on how much time has passed?
Well, there certainly weren't any wristwatches in the very early universe. But, well, one thing we know is that there's lots of good clocks all around. It turns out that the physical laws that govern everything we see around us are very regular in time, so it's actually very easy. You have a clock, I have a clock. It's very easy to arrange things so they're pretty much showing the same time, keeping track of the same thing that we call time. And so there's physical processes we follow as we extrapolate back to the beginning of the universe that are really those same reliable processes or relatives of them that we use to make good clocks today. In the basic studies of the universe, the galaxies around us, as we extrapolate back, we have a good sense of time, whether it's the oscillations of atoms or the propagation of light. Time means something pretty concrete.
So you've been doing some research of your own that really looks into the question of what a clock is and how that relates to the universe and physical laws. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
As we go beyond the universe that we observe right around us and try to develop an understanding of how it fits into a bigger picture, how it fits into a picture of quantum gravity, of quantum cosmology, we run into an interesting dilemma, because this very concrete notion of clocks and time that I just described actually comes undone at the largest level. And so it turns out at the large level, you're looking at a big picture of the cosmos, and you have to find those individual ingredients that you call your clocks that count the passage of time in your theory. And it turns out there's many choices you can make. And actually the deep insights from Einstein's theory of gravity tell us it's very important to be able to make all kinds of different choices to preserve the symmetries of the theory. So you actually have a lot of freedom to choose different clocks, and that leads to some very interesting ambiguities, some very profound ambiguities in how we understand the laws of physics.
So let me ask you, when you say that you can make different choices of clocks, what sort of things do you have in mind? What choices do you have?
Well, in terms of choices of clock, what we study when we study the universe around us, we look at, for example, a good choice of clock is sort of the size of the universe. The universe is expanding. As it expands, the temperature goes continuously downward. That's a good clock, just the temperature. Or the density of matter. As the density goes down, the time passes forward, and so we can use that as a measure of time. But we could also say, well, any combination of physical things could be a good clock. And it turns out what I've shown in my calculations is that there are other combinations, other kind of reassembling of these microscopic ingredients of the universe that could describe totally different clocks, describing evolution of a totally different universe. And it's all in there. It's all in there in the same theory. So it's just sort of a rearrangement of the physical ingredients into a new combination that tells you the story of a different universe evolving according to a different clock.
So you're sort of talking there about different universes. So when you set out, were you expecting that depending on your choice of clock and your choice of the measure of time, you would see a different universe, different physical laws? What did you expect to find?
I was expecting something very different, actually. When I set out to study this, I was really just exploring, following through on the implications of this business of needing to select the clock from the physical pieces that you had available. This is something we call internal time. We say internal time is when you find your clock within the system that you're studying. That's such a solid practical notion. It's exactly what we do every day when we check our watches and look at a clock on the wall and so on. So I expected something pretty mundane and practical to come out of that investigation. I was just trying to kind of dot the I's and cross the T's on something that seemed very logical and straightforward to me. So I was absolutely stunned when I discovered that this process of being completely open about how you identify the clock led to absolutely profound ambiguity in how we see the physics in our universe.
So can you explain a bit more what you mean by this profound ambiguity?
So we have the clocks, and they all agree with each other to a good approximation. They describe one set of physical laws. We have strong evidence that the same physical laws govern here, in the next galaxy, and across the universe. So there's this great unity of the system. All the laws actually hang together and cooperate to describe one consistent picture. What I found, though, was that suppose you out of the pure imagination come up with a totally different set of possible physical laws, and then someone else, we go next door and get another story, just fantasies about physical laws and stories about the universe. Any one of those fantasies can be realized within the same physical structure. So if I construct a theory that's just meant to describe the concrete physics I see around me, and then I construct the complete theory, when I'm done, I have within that same theory an equally good description of anybody's fantasy of an alternative universe with alternative laws.
So is that something we should be worried about? Does this sort of call into question our understanding of the physical laws of our universe, or is it a good thing?
When I first encountered this puzzle, I felt really disturbed and uncomfortable about it. I felt it was undermining our ability to really believe strong, concrete facts about the universe. It all seemed to be very ambiguous and open. It seemed very random to me. But then I thought about it and I realized if this is really the right picture, there's a really cool opportunity, which is maybe among all this randomness and among all this sort of democracy among different types of physical laws, there's a natural selection process that will tell us that actually there's a prediction that certain types of laws will appear more prominently than others when you look at the ensemble. And there may actually be a kind of selection and even prediction of what the typical laws of physics would be like. And if that is actually how it works out, and we really do make some sharp predictions, to me that's a much more satisfying source of insight into the nature of physical laws than we would get just by writing down some theory off the top of our head and then discovering that it was verified by experiment. I think developing an understanding of what physical laws ought to be like by considering a whole ensemble of all possibilities and discovering that some are better represented than others, that seems much deeper. So I'm actually very excited in a positive way about this line of research.
And so does it look like the description that we have of the universe is the best description? It is the one which is the strongest sort of representation?
It's early to tell in detail, but I'm stunned at how the first little baby steps I've taken in this direction have actually turned out really well. So we've worked out that indeed the fundamental tool we use to describe physics called local field theory, that's absolutely verified, is that any one of these random universes would strongly preferentially have a local field theory description. And the other thing we've checked is that, so Einstein's special relativity is the technical name for the physics behind it is Lorentz symmetry. So Lorentz symmetry is seen everywhere we look. And what we've shown is that in this process of analyzing the full random ensemble of physics, that there's a very, very, very strong preference for Lorentz symmetry among the theories in the ensemble. So it's a very exciting result, because once you have Lorentz symmetry, a lot of the features we see in our universe follow very naturally.
So just to sort of clarify, the idea is that you could choose a different type of clock when you're thinking about how to describe the universe, and that at first sight appears to lead you in different directions in terms of the physical laws that would describe the universe. But when you analyze it more carefully, there seems to be some preference for one set of these physical laws that seems to match the description we have.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm seeing. And there's a lot more to be checked and a lot more to discover. And it's actually very exciting, because we should be able to learn more. We should be able to take the line of reasoning I'm using and push it even further. But so far, it's had really great results.
So one thing that we've been talking about is whether time is really fundamental. Given the sort of work that you've been doing, does that lead you to form an opinion on that?
Yes, it does. So from the point of view of this research, I would say time, what time is a fundamental need. So we need time to interpret the universe. And in the most fundamental level, the description of the universe does not necessarily have time in it. But as we seek out a clock to meet this need, so we are beings that interpret the universe via reference to a clock. And so as you go about selecting a clock to use as your reference in your experience of the universe, through meeting that need, you pin down certain properties of the physical laws. So it's not a fundamental thing, but because it's fundamental to us, it guides us in interpreting the basic features of the universe.
Oh, this is a bit of a strange question, but you've sort of been talking about how much we need time in order to interpret physical laws. If we were alien beings or some other type of consciousness that maybe chose a different clock or had a different sense of time, would we come out or interpret the universe in a different way with different physical laws that were just as valid for us based on the type of entity we were?
I think we would. I think that's the basic insight of the set of ideas. But what I've learned so far is that as we scan the range of possibilities of different alien beings, different life forms, interpreting potentially different laws, there seems to be some unity of results where there's at least certain features of the universe that we know and appreciate well seem to repeat themselves across this broad spectrum of possibilities.
That was Andreas Albrecht talking to Zia. You can read more about his work in an article and video on the website www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.